Looking to part ways with complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping? Then give your business the edge it needs with USPS Ground Advantage shipping from the United States Postal Service. Keep everything simple with clear upfront pricing and no unexpected surcharges. Keep things affordable with some of the lowest prices out there. And keep it all reliable with on-time ground shipments. It's time to turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And not just the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class, a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works.
Hello, welcome to the podcast. Happy Friday. I'm Tracy V. Wilson.
I'm Holly Fry.
Our episodes this week were about Lord Elgin and the Parthenon marbles and the ongoing controversy about them and calls to return them to Greece. I had an opinion about this before I started working on it, just from the knowledge that Britain has had these in the British Museum for 200-ish years, and Greece has been like, can we have those back for about that same amount of time? And my basic opinion was, maybe y'all should give that back. And now, after having done all this research and having like read all of this uncertainty about the Furman and the fact that Elgin's whole point was like to put them in a shed on his personal property and they got shipwrecked and damaged through overcleaning along the way, I have the same opinion as before, but like 10 times as vehement as I did before I got into it.
Right. Do you consider any speculation about what could have happened to them if he had not removed them?
Yes. So it's pretty clear from a lot of different angles that if he had not removed them at all, they would have had further damage. Like there's just been a lot of documentation about like the ongoing vandalism,
right?
Ongoing damage through all of those monuments for the pieces that were that remained there, basically from the 19th century when Elgin was there doing that work into the early 20th century with Greece becoming an independent nation as it exists, more as it exists today. It was still a little, the structure was a little different when it first became independent than it has become. But I think that argument, like there's a valid argument to be made there that if somebody had not removed a lot of this artwork and protected it, then it would have been damaged further. But at this point, like the nation of Greece has done so much work to build the museum,
yeah,
and to clean up its air quality and all that other stuff, and just persistently said, can we please have that back? It's like, okay, if we have this argument of, yes, these pieces in a lot of ways were protected, in some ways they weren't protected because they wound up being shipwrecked and overcleaned and all this other stuff. Like, okay, the need to have them protected in this way is over. Maybe we can return them to Greece now. I also feel like there are some really complicated issues there.
Oh, yeah.
involving sort of like the paternalism of a lot of things we've talked about in on some previous shows before. When somebody has said, oh, you know what I'm going to do is I'm going to make sure to preserve these things because the local people don't seem to know what they have here. Without really asking the local people or finding out what they do actually know or finding out like what the meanings of these sites are. And like it becomes kind of a complicated thing where somebody kind of tromps in and says, I know what's best in this situation.
Right.
Which is not necessarily true. A lot of the arguments against returning some of the things that nations have said, can we please have that back? It's an important part of our cultural heritage. And it was like, it was removed during a colonial period or during a war, or we don't know how somebody took it and we don't have it anymore. Like a lot of the arguments that people make for not returning them, like some of them kind of boil down to the idea of, well, we won't be able to see it in the museum if we give it back to you.
Right.
And like there is an element of racism in that argument a lot of the time. like we need to make it easier for the white people to see this art is kind of the core argument of that sometimes. And that's a little disturbing.
Well, especially because I think that that argument gets made in a way that is particularly nefarious, which is like there is this veneer, not always, but sometimes, of the white people need to see this art because we're trying to understand you. Like, it's almost like we're so magnanimous. We're trying to appreciate other cultures and you're not letting us. And it's like, that is a twisted way to look at this whole thing.
Yeah.
That's where my hackles get super up. I keep trying to think about it in two ways that are conflicting. One is like on a micro level of like, have you ever known someone in your personal life who had some treasure that was perhaps in their family for a long time and they clearly are not taking care of it and don't understand what it is? And there is that whole like, I really wish you would just let me take this thing because it's going to be a wreck if I leave it with you forever. And I understand that, but at the same time, it's theirs.
Right.
But then I also think in the much bigger picture of like all of these concepts of nationality and identity around it are to some degree constructs that we have made up around lines that are imaginary that we have drawn on maps. And like that makes it a little trickier. The two work at odds. Like I said, it's not an easy thing. And I do understand. I mean, I certainly know that I have been to museums and stood there and looked at things that were from cultures very far away from my own and loved them and been very happy to see them. But I also can't deny that, like, hey, it sure would be cool for the people more connected to this to have access to it.
Yeah, yeah. You and we've talked about our love for museums on the show a lot.
Yes.
Like, that's come up a lot of times. And I do love museums, and I think museums can serve a really valuable role. And I think a lot of museums are really struggling right now as they sort of realize that, like, I live in Massachusetts. The Boston Museum of Fine Arts has had a series of incidents where, like, they planned an event that was supposed to be something positive without really taking into account the people they were actually representing.
Right.
Like, and you know, it reflects the fact that in a lot of museums, the curators are mostly white, the board is mostly white, and not necessarily, I'm not saying that white people can't do this job, but not really having the viewpoints of the people whose artwork they're curating and representing. And like that shines through sometimes. So like, I can see how museums can be really problematic in that kind of programming. And then also at the same time, I often will be at a museum looking at a piece in front of me and my thought is like, where did you get this?
Right.
And how? Like, that's the thing that I am thinking about a lot of the times when I'm looking at a museum. Also, it's not entirely within the scope of the episode that we just talked about, but this idea that if Britain returns the Parthenon marbles, a whole lot of other museums are going to, like, it's going to start this landslide of museums having to return stuff. Like, I think people have sort of this imaginary situation where Britain returns the Parthenon marbles, and then the people show up with the pitchforks and the torches demanding all of the art back, and the walls are going to be totally empty. Like, there's this weird fear, like, that's going to be the next step, which I don't think is really what would happen. But that kind of fear has led to a couple of just really appalling crimes that I know about. One of them is here in the United States, after the passage of the Native American Graves Protection and Repatriation Act, a guy named Thomas Munson, who was acting as the park superintendent at Effigy Mounds National Monument, which has its own whole series of controversies in its history, he stole the bones of like 41 different people that had been housed in their collection. The reason that he stole it is that so those remains wouldn't be repatriated to the people that they belonged to.
Right.
And in doing so, he basically destroyed the context of all of those pieces. Like, that's like, okay, now how do we figure out who all these bones belong to and who they should be repatriated to? Like, that was just a really horrifying crime that was motivated by racism and by this fear of, like, returning things to the cultures that they came from.
Yeah. I also wonder if there is another fear that has not really been introduced, and this is purely speculation, so please don't museum people come after me, but I really wonder if there is a subtler fear that starting to do something like this, repatriating these marbles, will open up a Pandora's box where people really start looking a lot more closely in general at the provenance of art pieces that are often in museums. And it will reveal that there are a lot of dirty hands along the way. Like,
yeah,
there are a lot of pieces of art that have been, you know, passed around through various private collectors that probably never should have been in a lot of the hands that they were in. And that opens up a whole other moral discussion similarly of, like, should a museum buy a piece of art from a private collector where maybe they don't know how that person got it? And it may not be an entirely above board provenance lineage in terms of when it was created to when this person has their hands in it. They're theoretically taking it out of the hands of somebody that shouldn't have it and putting it on a wall, but they are also indirectly perpetuating the problem.
Right.
I worry that that, too, is probably part of the discussion either not happening but being thought about or happening but being happening in a much quieter way because it does open, like I said, a Pandora's box of how art has moved through the world for centuries.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure. I think that's probably likely an element in it also. Yeah, it's such a whole huge, complicated, important issue because, like, I've definitely been inspired to learn more about things by things I saw in museums, and I've learned a lot from museums. And there are so many, like, indigenous people of color saying, like, hey, that's actually ours. Like, it's not yours. And I think those are really incredibly important voices to listen to and elevate in all of this. And in a lot of cases, when museums have started working more directly with the people whose artifacts are in their collections, like, that's really made the museum's experience a whole lot richer in terms of what information they've been able to share, how they've been able to curate their own collections. I am hopeful that, like, the world of museums will just continue to get more diverse and richer in that way. And like, we'll sort of arrive at a place at some point in the future, maybe not in my lifetime, where it feels like museums really are curating things in a way that is always respectful and thoughtful of the people whose artifacts are in the collection.
I feel like we have inadvertently stumbled into, like, a really good television show pitch. Please don't anyone do this. Where we have the main hero is a person who steals from museums a la Robin Hood to repatriate them to the places they belong. It could be like Kung Fu, where they're a traveler and we see them each week doing good in the world.
Yeah, I'm thinking reverse Indiana Jones. Instead of that belongs in the museum. Like, I'm going to take this back to the people it belongs to.
Well, although Indiana Jones at least wanted them in museums versus the people that wanted to do other things with them. But this is going to be a great show. We're going to pitch it. It's going to be imitatable, which is going to be unfortunate. There will be subsequent lawsuits. Yeah, I think we found out how we meet our ruin, and it's going to be a great ride.
Yeah. Also, I know that all this stuff that we've just talked about for the last, I guess, 10 or 12 minutes, a lot of people have really passionate opinions about this, and we will probably hear from people in our listener mail of people who agree or disagree of all the various things that we have said.
To spin that in the most positive way I can, it's because art means that much.
It does.
Like, that's, to me, part of, like, the case to be made for art. When people are like, eh, art, it means a lot to people culturally and historically, as well as just it evokes a lot of emotion because it is art. That's my positive spin on that.
It is good that that folks care about this. Like I said, I would like those marbles to be back in Athens one day.
Yeah, it's also would be a nice excuse for a trip to Athens to go see them.
Yeah, I mean,
fingers crossed.
Trips to lots of places. So, if you would like to write to us about this or our other podcasts, we're a history podcast at iHeartMedia.com and all over social media at Mist and History. And you can subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts or the iHeartRadio app or anywhere else you like to get podcasts. Stuff You Missed in History Class is a production of iHeartRadio's How Stuff Works. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Xumo Play is your destination for endless entertainment. With a diverse lineup of 350-plus live channels, movies, and full TV series, you'll easily find something to watch right away. And the best part? It's all free. Love music? Get lost in the 90s with iHeart 90s, dance away with hip-hop beats, and more on the iHeart Radio music channels. No logins, no signups, no accounts, no hassle. So what are you waiting for? Start streaming at play.xumo.com or download from the app and Google Play stores today. All you can stream with Xumo Play.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.